famous husband and wife team, Jerry Goffin and Carol King. It sold over 470,000 copies in Britain and 250,000 in its first 10 days in America on MGM record label. Passing the leading selling sales globally, King after Herman, her name Peter Moon, was born in Manchester in 1947. And Stepford Flower Steel. He sang a little obscurely, combining his past lessons with singing. Then he had a part in the TV horror Night Film, which required him to sing.
He then attended Manchester School of Music for both
drama and singing classes at 14. He also appeared in Coronation Street, Jackie, Incredible Strange, and several other TV shows. While visiting his local nightclub one night, to meet there the heartbeat was short of a singer. He was holding and gave up his acting career. The name Herman came from a cartoon character in a TV show, the Generator Show. The group were amused at the similarity of one character called Sherman, so that of their lead singer Peter, so they christened him Herman, adding the Hermit, that is credited with the first name so well.
The group were first taking attention to the character of the future,
Ricky Moose, who had been responsible for the hits of the Animals and the National Team. He traveled to Bolton to see them at a concert. I was very impressed by their stage show and signed them for a recording contract immediately. Mickey Moose chose the song for their first disc debut, which was released on Sunday time following their signing. As well, by the end of 1967, Herman Kermit had sold 17 million records. This is something good. Well, the last in the USA in 1964, where it reached number 14, and sold a total of 13 weeks in the bestsellers. It reached number 1 of the vocal charts on September 25th, 1964.
Bye.
Microphones in Broadcasting by Tim Lee Smith in Broadcast Systems Engineering. A glance at some aspects of microphone usage in British radio and television. The general view of sound balancers and recorders seems to be that in recent years, broadcasters have been well served by the microphone manufacturers who are sympathetic to their special requirements. Michael Talbot-Smith of the BBC Engineering Training Department at Evesham notes some considerations that contribute to the cost of suitable microphones. You do have to go very much for similarity between samples, so you can pick a microphone of a particular type and it will behave exactly similarly to any other of that type. One pays more for quality control at the manufacturers, of course. There's also ruggedness and reliability. If somebody has a microphone of their own, they treasure it and keep it in cloth and wool. In broadcasting, with the best will in the world, rough handling does occur occasionally. You may be rushing to beat the clock, and one has got to pay a bit more for the microphone that's more likely to stand up to that sort of treatment occasionally and still have quality. Quality is basically a flat frequency response, an excellent transient response, and, increasingly with digital recording, good noise figures. When it comes to choosing a particular type of microphone, there are considerations such as the environment in which it will be used and the type of program material it is to handle. Obviously, appearance is important in vision or in public, but even in the privacy of the studio, a presenter's confidence in a particular microphone may be